Hello and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of December 22nd through December 28th. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So today is officially the last day of Sagittarius for the year and the decade. I mean, how crazy is that? So happy that we're still celebrating that Sag vibe, but obviously a little sad. Capricorn and its ruler Sagittarius is, that can be a little bit challenging for me, but I know it's just moving us, pushing us to do the work and get things started for 2020. So here we go, peeps. How was everyone's winter solstice and Yule? I hope it was amazing. I was lucky enough to be a featured reader at the Assemblage in New York with several other healers, readers. They did incredible cacao ceremonies and sound bath healings. It was a really big, fun winter solstice event downtown. So I personally always love this time of year because it means more sunlight is literally coming in. The days are getting longer and longer from now until June, when we have the summer solstice on the kind of flip side of this. So it's a great way to begin the new year knowing that more light is actually coming into our lives day by day. I also love that we leave Sag season with the days beginning to get brighter, because Sagittarius kind of has that like bright, fiery vibe, but it's taking place in the darkest time of the year. So it's always kind of a funny juxtaposition. It's almost like we need Sagittarius's energy as a, you know, a constellation, as a sign to bring that light into that dark period. And as soon as we close out Sagittarius season, it's kind of the sunlight follows and begins to kind of expand and illuminate our days. I've recently received a lot of questions kind of around the energies specifically about this time, both the 12-12 portal that we just finished moving through yesterday on the winter solstice, as well as Yule on the solstice, and kind of what is this energy. A lot of people have been expressing intense dreams, intense visions, and, you know, what is this all about? So that's really what this episode is going to dive into, but I'll go through our cards of the month. And as it's the last week, we've got our Sag cards and go into our card of the week first. So our first card, as you guys who are listeners may be well familiar with, is Temperance, because we had Temperance as one of our cards in November. So she's really carried us through kind of that holiday season starting in November through Sagittarius season, that hustle and bustle and travel and trying to wrap things up between 2019 and 2020. And Temperance is all about balance and moderation, which can be tricky at this time of year because so many of us have heightened schedules with work, increased social events, gifts to buy, people to see, but all of those things, you know, kind of being demanded of us with the same amount of hours in each day. So Temperance is here to guide us and is also working as the alchemist of the tarot deck. And we see that as she's pouring her water from one cup into the other, kind of alchemizing the energy with that slow and steady, like moderate pace. The time between now and New Year's Eve is really a good time to, first of all, practice that moderation of knowing when to go, 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 and knowing when to step back, when to take a breath, reset, and recenter. And also, you know, using on the other layer of Temperance, that alchemy to really create new patterns and practices. Like, how do we want to start this new year, this new decade? I've been feeling really run down. I told you, I think physically the past couple of weeks, I mentioned I had that sinus infection that was pretty gnarly. And a lot of people, friends that I know, family members, clients are starting to get some physical illnesses and, you know, not necessarily anything major, whether that's like sinus, cold, flu, just lethargy. It really, as you're going through this, if you're one of the people that's unfortunately experiencing this, it may feel nasty and gross, but try to embrace that your body is literally releasing cells and toxins that we don't need to carry with us into 2020. And this in itself of getting kind of a cold or a flu is actually a way of alchemizing to prepare for a big energetic shift and up-leveling. And that's why it's so important to practice that moderation and presence of temperance. So we're not overextending ourselves and we're listening to our bodies if we need to rest, if we need to say no to something that we have, you know, been, even if it's something we were excited about, like I really wanted to go to this holiday party and it's just my body, my DNA is saying I need to rest right now. I need to chill and Netflix it tonight. So just listen to that and kind of take the message of temperance with you from now through the rest of December. Our second card of the month, pulled from the January 1st, 2019 overview, was Nine of Swords. And as I've said, don't love this card. Don't get excited when I pull it in a reading. And most people who are familiar with tarot agree with me on this. You know, there's a lot of downsides to this card. There's anxiety, stress, lack of sleep, that feeling of being alone and isolated. But on the bright side of this, which I always say, Sagittarians love the bright side. I am that annoying optimist, you know, most of the time. And Nine of Swords does have a silver lining. And that is, it's all about perspective. And it reminds us that even when negative situations occur, they're only as bad as we allow them to be. It's like we can pour a ton of energy into the downside of something, or we can say, okay, yeah. And this isn't about bypassing or, you know, I get a lot of you know, shit for being like the optimist that I am, of like, oh, I'm bypassing the dark stuff. Trust me, kids, I have gone into my shadow time and time again, you know, often on a daily basis. And Nine of Swords, looking at the perspective, is not about bypassing. It's about saying, hey, this really effing sucks. I feel it. I feel that trauma. I see it. But let's step back and say, what are the lessons? And I think that those are the moments for growth. And those are, do you want to give your energy to, you know, the shittiness of the situation? Or do you want to give your energy to, like, yes, there's pain, there's loss. You know, there can be stress, it can be loss, it can be heartache in Nine of Swords, but what is the greater lesson for our growth, for our ascension? And that's what I like about this card. I mean, it's hard. I'm really, you know, you gotta find what it is that you like, because it is a tough card, but I do like that growth and that perspective. And, you know, it's an invitation. Nine of Swords, I always say, it's a powerful invitation of, do you want to continue down this path? Or do you want to take a minute, look at the lesson, and grow? And for that reason, I'm always going to say, like, what are the lessons? Even when you can't see them, you know? At this event that I attended that I was so lucky to be a part of at the assemblage, one of the other practitioners, she creates this beautiful crystal jewelry, just amazing energy. She's a Cancer, so that really, like, sensitive but kind of soft-spoken but really powerful energy. And she does henna and she does crystal jewelry. And she was telling me she had a major Nine of Swords moment. And she was on the subway. And I thought this was so cool. I've never actually seen this in New York. And I probably would have been like, oh, I want in on that. Because, you know, I'm a Sag and I love fun and games. There was somebody playing with these, like, little games of cups that if you guessed which cup had the ball under it, you could win money. And people were winning hundreds of dollars. She said some guy won $500 betting on this. And she bet the first round and she won $100. And she was like, intuitively, I should have walked away. But she's like, I got cocky and I thought, that guy just won $500. Oh my gosh, if I make $500 on just a subway ride, like, this is like, I'm good. I'm good for the rest of December. I don't have to even, you know, don't have to worry. And so she bet a second time, not as intuitively confident, and lost all the money she won the first round. And she was saying that was really her Nine of Swords moment of, like, it sucked. And she said, I'm mad about it still. She had just gotten there when this happened. And she said, but I had to think, what is the lesson? And she was like, I think the lesson was, you know, I knew not to go for the second round. So Nine of Swords, you know, try to find the lessons, even when they're painful, because that's really what helps us to grow and not have to repeat those levels again. Okay. Oh, and we don't want to forget, we have, okay, Temperance following us from November to December. We have Nine of Swords from the annual overview, but we also have our bonus card this month. We have Wheel of Fortune because it's ruled by Jupiter, and Jupiter is Sagittarius's ruler. So I thought, why don't we just throw Wheel of Fortune in here? Because I love this card. It's literally my favorite major arcana. You know, and it's a good reminder that if there are moments that are challenging this month, Nine of Swords, that are kind of really causing us to struggle with moderation and temperance of, you know, being, like I said, the holidays, a lot of friends, family, gift giving. And even if you're not celebrating Hanukkah, Christmas, Yule, if you're kind of in a not self-employed position, if you're working for a company or someone else's is employing you, you probably are reaching a lot of deadlines. It's year end. It's finishing things up so that it wraps up the quarter. So that can just require a lot of, a lot of temperance, kind of moderation. And you might have some Nine of Swords moments. And Wheel of Fortune is really here to remind us that we're always evolving. So even in those moments of stress and strain and overwork, it's all bringing us into that next stage, that next level. And as crazy as things can be, Wheel of Fortune encourages us to remain as present as possible so that we can learn, from those moments, whether it's incredible moments we're celebrating and expressing gratitude, because those are going to pass too, and we'll have greater moments and good moments again, but those moments can also change and evolve. So Wheel of Fortune is we're all moving forward. We're all evolving and growing, but try as much as possible. The message to me in this card is always, be present so that we can soak that all in. And it's not just about the destination of where is this taking us. Wheel of Fortune is about the journey of all of those moments kind of strung together for that, bigger process. So I love this card. It's also the card of, reinvention. About the end of the day, you're going to come out of that wheel, a reinvented, up-leveled, ascended version of how you started, which is a great card to end the year. It's a great transition from 2019 to 2020 of how do we reinvent ourselves this year? And looking at Wheel of Fortune, really, really kind of meditating on that question of how did we ascend? How did we evolve? And what is the reinvented, up-leveled version of us as we step into the new decade? All right, let's take a look at our card of the week. Eight of Swords. Okay, so this card actually, it's funny. This is one of those, most of the cards have light and shadow and up and down. Some I find more optimistic, some I find more challenging, like Nine of Swords. And then we have Wheel of Fortune, which I find personally very optimistic. People that are kind of change averse don't love Wheel of Fortune because it's there's motion, we're moving. And those who really are constantly looking to move, I'm Sagittarius, I love travel, I love motion, obviously love Wheel of Fortune. But Eight of Swords is also it's one of those balanced cards of there's good and there's light and there's shadow to this. So in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this shows this woman in red and she's bound and tied with her arms behind her back and she has a blindfold on. And she's in the midst of these eight swords. It's almost like a maze, but when you think about that, if you had to walk through that blindfolded with your arms tied, it would be really scary to not fall, to not get cut. So it feels like you're just being held in place. I don't want to move. I'm scared to move forward. I'm scared to move backwards. In the Badass Bitches Tarot deck, I illustrated this card as Kathy Griffin, the comedian, because I think about her and I think oh my gosh, so talented, so funny. This woman has won Emmys, but people still refer to her as a D-list celebrity because she herself labeled her show, Life on the D-List. I'm a D-List celebrity, I'm a D-List celebrity. And we had this kind of told to us for so long, even if that was a decade ago. I think that show was on E! Probably at least 10 years ago. But a lot of articles, a lot of people, you may even consider her, if you know who she is, a D-List celebrity in your mind, because she branded herself. And that's really Eight of Swords energy. It's really that self-limiting, I call it the happy capping card, of when you put limitations on yourself, but it's your story, and you can change that narrative at any time. And that's kind of the catch-22 to Eight of Swords. It's, astrologically speaking, Eight of Swords is Jupiter in Gemini. And this is such an interesting astrological combination for me. And what makes this card so dynamic? Because, it's expansive Jupiter who loves growth and opportunity coming into that often very self-critical Gemini energy. So it's kind of that battle of wanting to expand, but feeling a little bit critical and unsure. And I think that this is an incredibly helpful card for us going into the holidays, because it's saying stories that you may tell yourself and may have been true of a past version of yourself are probably not true today. And you are the one who can kind of untie yourself from those shackles, free yourself, take the blindfold off. And this can be how you're seen in your family. You know, if you are somebody who was incredibly irresponsible and now you're not, and you're like, that was the narrative all growing up and it's hard to be seen in that way, it's making sure that starts with you. And even if you're like, no, hey, my family treats me like this, even though that's not representative of who I am today, it's saying, hold that. Eight of Swords is saying, you know, hold that confidence as you walk into the room. And you don't have to necessarily be combative or even overly vocal about it, but just internally, like when you know, like, no, I'm an A-list celebrity, not a D-list celebrity. Or I may have been a messy, irresponsible teenager, but like I am now in my 30s, in my 40s, in, you know, whatever your age bracket. And that's not who I am today. And the best thing you can do is just really own that and carry that intrinsically. And as you do, the outside world begins to reflect and mirror what you're feeling internally. And that's, I think, Eight of Swords. That's why I'm like, I love this. This is the like, stop any limitations, free yourself of those, because you get to rewrite the story and evolve it and grow that story. Wheel of Fortune callback, you know, throughout your life. And I think that that can be, Eight of Swords can come up this time of year, especially when spending time with people who, you know, they knew you best probably at a younger past version of you. And it's really just, but the beauty of that is you get to reintroduce them to who you are today. And that can be a little scary. Like introductions can be, you know, anxiety ridden when you first meet people. And it's like almost, Eight of Swords is almost reintroducing yourself to the world, even to those that you're most familiar with. So I hope that this card works with you. I hope that you remember that and remember to pull off that metaphorical blindfold, so to speak. So the other thing I wanted to address, as I mentioned, is a lot of my clients, one-on-one in readings, a lot of you listeners and people that reach out to me on Instagram through direct messages have been asking basically WTF with the energy, right? And the year-end energy, it's often intense because, as I think we discussed this in the previous podcast, every December we have the 12-12 portal. It occurs every December 12th and runs through to 12-21. The 21st. But this year, the way that this lined up was just a little more intense than usual. First of all, on the East Coast, we had the full moon in Gemini occurring literally 12:12 a.m. on 12:12 to launch this portal. So that was like a little extra like supercharge. And we have it ending 12:21, which happens to be the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, and Yule. And that falls on, the solstice can vary because it's whatever the shortest day of the year was, but this all just lined up like perfectly for us this year. So that meant that this portal was even more intensified for a lot of us. And, you know, this all centered around the number 12, which is the number of challenge, but also of completion. So when we think about that in terms of tarot, the Hanged Man is number 12, right? And when we think about the Hanged Man, it's really the challenge to surrender and the fact that we kind of often have to surrender in order to get to the finish line. So it's that challenge and completion, which may feel like contradictory energies, but they actually work hand in hand. And you kind of, when you embrace the challenge and surrender to it, like the Hangman, like, I'm going to surrender to that. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. I'm going to surrender to literally be suspended upside down like the Hangman and just breathe into that discomfort and know that the universe has my back. That's really kind of the energy this portal is speaking to. So you may have had things that came up from the past. You may have had things that you were like, I thought I was done with this. Or on the flip side of that, unexpectedly, things being pulled out of your life. A lot of people were talking about unexpected employees of theirs quitting, of like friendships, kind of friend breakups, friends kind of, you know, like suddenly and knowingly, not like a gentle ghost, like I'm done here. There was a lot of that in this portal. There was, you know, a lot of romantic breakups. And I think that this, you know, kind of is when we look at it, it's really all for our highest good, right? And when we step back, that's kind of that temperance energy of, you know, can we step back and take a look and say, I'm going to assess before I act and do and, you know, just have an immediate reaction. And that's really the 12-12 from 12-12 to 12-21. So if any of you were having those things fall out of your life in any way, if you're able to step back and say, what's the lesson here? Is this actually serving me? Does the universe, have my back more than I can see in this moment? If any of you also were having any dreams, visions, or other signs from the universe, it's definitely worth paying attention to these. A lot of people have been coming to me with visions or dreams from meditations, or I keep hearing the song, or I keep seeing the number 555. These are messages coming in, and they come in much more clearly at almost a louder level or a more clear vision, if that makes any sense, during the portal, where it might have been softer, subtler background noise. And from 12-12 to 12-21, it's almost like, yes, neon lights, you're getting these signs. So do pay attention as you receive them. One of my really good friends texted me on Tuesday night of this week and said, hey, I had a weird vision about rocks falling from the sky somewhere near you, maybe 7th Avenue, just be careful, okay? And I'm like, okay, and I value this because I also, you know, as many of us do when we pay attention, get these kind of symbols and signs from the universe. The next morning in the New York Post, the headline article was that a woman died on 7th Avenue and 49th Street from debris randomly falling from a high rise to the street. And this is exactly what my friend saw. Doesn't know why she saw it, but just was like, hey, I think you're in this area, so be careful. And I was, and I'm on 6th Avenue. It was one block away. But she had this very clear, and rocks falling from the sky, which seemed a little bit nonsensical, but again, I trust it. I'm like, I get signs from pop lyrics. So whatever they're coming from, I hear you. I'm going to listen and heed that. So definitely don't dismiss any visions, messages, or feelings that come through in a strong way that you've felt from, the past week, week and a half. Another effect of this portal on this specific time energetically is a lot of people experiencing effects of twin flame separation. So if you guys are familiar with twin flame, there is the theory that, you have one twin flame that's your person, your ideal, almost mirror image, and it's your twin. It's two sides to a coin that in some ways you're totally fine as individuals, yes, but there is a completion when you're united together. And you can have many soulmates. I mean, many of my best friends are soulmates to me. I'm like, you are a part of my soul, and whether I see them every day or, once every few months, that's that feeling of that soul energy connection. Whereas twin flames, the belief is you have one, and this can follow you throughout lifetimes. So many people throughout this portal energy have been experiencing extreme feelings of separation from their twin flame. And as this energy portal opened and we're ascending into this kind of powerful new decade, those energetic cords between you and this person may have been activated. Even if you've been apart for some time, you may be feeling that more intensely than ever right now. And this is the perfect time to call in. I love that we have Eight of Swords, because this is actually, call in that Eight of Swords energy this week and really untie yourself from limitations that this person completes you. If you guys don't already follow at Elizabeth April on Instagram, it's at elizabeth.april. She's an incredible healer, energy worker. And she did a great video about this of yes, twin flames exist, but stop obsessing over this person and that they complete you in a way, because honestly, that's an Eight of Swords moment. You are totally fine, complete, and whole within you. And so if you're feeling these effects, and definitely, I understand I've experienced this, the trauma, the loss, that kind of energetic cord, the most important thing you can do is, as much as possible, focus on that strength within you. And you're more likely to feel at peace, but also you're more likely to reunite with them if it's meant to be in this lifetime, the happier you are and the stronger you feel within yourself. And that's really untying that blindfold, untying yourself, Eight of Swords. It's that whole cheesy, If let it go, and if it comes back to you, that's how you know. Oh my, I think that's Christina Aguilera. Of course, I'm cool. Yes, it's early Christina, Xtina when she was in her genie in a bottle days. But like, let it go, basically. And if it's meant to be, that's kind of Four of Cups energy, right? If that which is for you cannot go by you. If it's meant to be reunited in this lifetime, just release it and like focus on what makes you and, you know, you with your by yourself aligned, joyful, peaceful, and happy. Anyway, if that is something that's really torturing you and you want to release it, cord cutting is one of the most effective ways to do this. And I'm thinking of doing a video about this because I've been asked to do more video content. I'm looking to do YouTube and Instagram TV a lot more moving into 2020. So this might be one of my first videos because I've gotten a lot of requests about this. So yes, if you're feeling energetic cords, and not just to twin flames, this could be to anybody. This could be you have energetic ties to a friend, a former boss, somebody that you're like, their energy is still pulling on mine and I can feel that, whether that's because thoughts are popping into your head and you don't know why you're having dreams about this person. You just feel this energy when you have physically released this person, but you can't quite clear it. And there are really effective ways of working with this. There are really strong cord cutting meditations that I recommend. For me, everything stems from tarot, right? Like that's how I kind of understand and explain. And when I think about cord cutting, three cards come to mind. First of all, the Tower, right? Because these are kind of the three ways that energy can leave our lives. I mean, there's in terms of the archetypes of the tarot. The Tower is when something, bam, crashes down and it's unexpectedly pulled from your life. And it's kind of like you weren't expecting it. It may not be pleasant, but the Tower is, it's the universe is pulling it away for a reason. The second, Eight of Cups. It's like it was something that was really strong. And Eight of Cups is, eights are ruled by the Strength card. So it's that bittersweet, like, oh, this serves me and it was beautiful, but I've outgrown it and we're not in sync. We're not on the same path. And I have to stay true to my path in this lifetime. And you know what the universe wants me to do. And it's kind of this moment of walking away from something that you know just isn't aligned anymore, which is a hard one. I mean, these are all moments of challenge and moments of strength. And then lastly, Ten of Swords. And Ten of Swords is that just like, this is a bad idea. I've got to cut it out like Uncle Joey from Full House. I'm doing a whole lot of cheesy throwbacks today. Sorry, guys. But Ten of Swords is like when you know. I think you know an Eight of Cups, but it's more of like a, you still have that nostalgia, those memories, and like you're still like, oh, like there's love there. Ten of Swords is a very, and swords are the fastest moving, right? Cups are slower. It's water energy. There's emotion. There's kind of like that evaluating head versus heart, where swords are like, no nonsense, let's cut it. And I feel like this is the energy that's probably the easiest and you probably need the least cord cutting. But if you're in any of these three moments of a Tower, Eight of Cups, or Ten of Swords moment with a friend, a loved one, someone that's pulling on your energy, it honestly, it may be good to really do some cord cutting work. And I will post in the notes to this episode a meditation that I like to work with. I did a really powerful cord cutting around a relationship that was really challenging for me to leave. I did leave, but I still, even though I was the one to leave it, I felt this energy in both like dreams. I could feel her energy pulling on mine, and cord cutting was what really cleared it. So just because a lot of you guys have been asking, I wanted to give you that information. Definitely, also just meditating on the energies of, you know, if it's a Tower moment, if it's an Eight of Cups, if it's a Ten of Swords, if it's an Eight of Swords, our weekly card, is it something that you're tying yourself to energetically? So I would really kind of look within those cards as a starting point, especially if you're listening to this podcast and you're a fan of tarot. And then if you want to take it further, I will post a link to a meditation that I find helps. And I also am offering multiple new spreads for 2020. I'm doing a twin flame, revealing information about you and your twin flame connection spread, as well as a cord cutting spread and offering kind of a cord cutting healing around that. So again, I'm going to post a video with a little more info. But in the meantime, I'd like to get you this meditation if it helps. So I am headed out to my parents for Christmas. So I'm taking off next week of the podcast. But the following week, Sunday the 5th, I will be back with a big New Year overview. So you're going to get every card. And that's when I'm going to pull on January 1st, do my little ritual that I do every year. I meditate. I light candles for the year. I work with the card of the year for the Conscious Collective, which is going to be the Beyonce card, the Emperor. So good, we got a good card coming, kids. So I will be posting all of that info, not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday, January 5th. So do stay tuned for that. That's the juiciest one of the year. That's your whole overview. So before we head out, though, I will give you the quick recap. As always, we have the Temperance card. This is our last week of our Sagittarius and December card. So we have the Temperance card, which followed us from November into December, reminding us to kind of, you know, use that moderation to step back, see the big picture so we can strike a balance between our emotional experiences and how we ground. We also have, not one of my faves, the Nine of Swords, that can bring that stress and anxiety, but ultimately helps us to choose and focus how we want to use those lessons, right? Do we want to give energy to the stress and, you know, heartache of the situation, or do we want to focus on what it's teaching us, why it's occurring? And we have our bonus card, Wheel of Fortune, ruled by Jupiter. Sagittarius is ruler, last day of Sag. Thank you, Wheel of Fortune, reminding us that we're always in motion, always evolving, and even stressful situations are occurring to help us level up. And this week, Eight of Swords, reminding us that now is the perfect time, now more than ever, as we go home, some of us to our childhood bedrooms, is the perfect time to free ourselves from those self-limiting beliefs, and that helps others see us in a new light. So remove those restrictions for good and leave them behind with the past year and the past decade so that we are going into 2020 like the badass bitches and magical mofos that we all know we are. Also, Instagram Lives. I will be on Instagram Live coming back next Monday, December 30th at 7:30. So if you haven't tuned in the past, Lives are a chance to ask your own question, and you can get your own online mini live reading. If you don't get a chance to tune in real time, you can also send through your questions in advance, and I get to as many of those as I can. And again, thank you to all of you guys who came out to all of my December events, especially the fabulous ladies that came to the assemblage Yule and Winter Solstice last night. I loved meeting every single one of you and doing readings for you all. I have a bunch of new events coming up, some New Year's, New Year spreads, looking at the 2020 overview events in January. So please check out at CardsEB on Instagram and my website, Badass Bitches Tarot, to see where I'll be and what I'll be doing around New York, LA, and Toronto. So thank you guys so much. Have the best last day of Sagittarius. I mean, party it up. Do something bling bling and fun, because what would Sagittarians do? And I hope you had an amazing Yule, an amazing December. And if you're celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, have a magical one. And as always, stay magical AF.